glories to the assembled body. All glories to the assembled body. All glories to Shishiguru and Shibodanga. Master, be merciful unto us. Give us a share of your lotus feet. Your famous prayer lover, the three words, we take shelter of your lotus feet.
Voy a poner todo porque está bien largo.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. जय गोपी जन वालाभा गिरिबारा धारे जया गोपी जन भालाबा गिरिभर धारे जशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर बन चारी जमुना तीरा बन चारे जय राधा मदावा कुंजा बिहारे जैया राधा माधवा कुंजा विहारे गोपी जन भालाबा गिरिभर धारे गोपी जन भालाबा गिरिभर धारे यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बन छारे जमुना तीरा बन छारे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 रामा Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Shishi Radha Madhava Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashto Tarasata Shishimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashto Tarasata Shishimad, His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki. ISKCON FANDER ACHARYA SHILA PRABHUPADA KI GRANTARA SHIVAM BHAGAVATAM KI DAI GAURA PREMANANDI. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shishi Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, entitled The Summum Bonum, Chapter 5, entitled Nanda Maharaj, The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, text number 29. Sri Nanda Uvacha, Aho Te Devaki Putra, Kamsena Bahabohata, Ekavasistava Raja, Kanya Shapi Divam Gata. Sri Nanda Uvacha, Aho Te Devaki Putra, Kamsena Bahabohata, Ekavasistava Raja, Kanya Shapi Divam Gata. Sri Nanda Uvacha, Aho Te Devaki Putra, Kamsena Bahabohata, Ekavasistava Raja, Kanya Shapi Divam Gata. Please chant. Sri Nanda Uvacha. Nanda Maharaj said, Aho, alas, te, your, Devaki Putraha, all the sons of your wife Devaki, Kamsena, by King Kamsa, Bahavaha, many, Hataha, have been killed. Eka, one. Avishtata, avashista, remaining child. Avaraja, the youngest of all. Kanya, a daughter also. Sa api, she also. Divangata, gone to the heavenly planets. translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Nanda Maharaj said, "Alas, King Kamsa killed so many of your children born of Devaki, and your one daughter, the youngest child of all, enter the heavenly planets." Purport. When Vasudeva understood from Nanda Maharaj that the mystery of Krishna's birth and his having been exchanged with Yasoda's daughter was yet undisclosed, he was happy that things were going on nicely. By saying that Vasudeva's daughter, his youngest child, has gone to the heavenly planets, Nanda Maharaj indicated that he did not know that this daughter was born of Yasoda and that Vasudev has exchanged her with Krishna. Thus the doubts of Vasudev were dispelled. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasya Bhutale Shrimate Rupaswamite Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So in the narration, there's another instance of Vasudev superlative expertise in communication. Before we hear how Vasudev actually true communication, perfect communication, suitable to the time and circumstances, was able to deal with Kamsa when Kamsa lost completely his mind and all sense of decency and civilized, how you say, being civilized, and right in the middle of the procession during the marriage of his sister Devaki and Vasudev, was ready to kill her. Right in front of everybody. I mean, you can imagine that, you know, when we've been present in marriages, when the couple enters, everybody is like, you know, focusing on the couple. And then there is Kamsa grabbing Devaki by the hair and pulling his sword, ready to cut her head. So you can imagine the situation. Someone to just be willing to do that, how are you going to deal with that person? How anyone can actually talk that person or bring that person to some sense to be able to, you know, okay, even listen. So we can see how expert Vasudev was with communication, with diplomacy, with having the expertise to say the right things at the right time, in the right circumstance, you know, to be able to apply that at every moment. And being able to, without, to obtain his purposes, without, you know, revealing too much or basically not being able to come through. Sometimes you find yourself, especially when you're in some responsible position and you have to do some management, that you have to use discrimination in your communication. Sometimes it's not right to reveal something, and you still have to communicate. You still have to, you know, go through persons, but so you have to achieve a task, and you have to direct people to achieve a task, and you have to communicate it in a clear way. But sometimes, you know, in management, you have to use diplomacy, which is a trait of the kshatriyas, of the administrative class. And the expert in using words, the expert in communicating pleasantly, even though possibly the whole thing is the reality or the thing that they know about the circumstance is it deserves something else, they're able to communicate in such a way that things go smoothly. And when you're not a kshatriya by nature, an administrator, and you put in a position of being a kshatriya, then you find out how difficult it is. We have, you know, in our, many of us at one point have to take some responsibility, but it's not necessarily your nature to be an administrator. And then you find yourself constantly in problems with devotees or other people, you know, misunderstanding you, or you saying the wrong thing, or you saying a little too much, you have to backtrack, you have, you know, it's like, it's quite something. It's quite something. And you admire those who are in power, either by nature or by their surrender to Krishna. They become in power in being expert in saying the right things, or not saying things, or saying this much and that. So communication is an art, and it's an art that is necessary for those who are administrators, kshatriyas. Nowadays we have leaders of society that are not kshatriya by natures, especially here in the US. Most of our presidents has been either Vaishyas or Sudras. Very little Kshatriyas, you know. So we have presidents that have been actors. Those are Sudras, business person, Vaishyas, and sometimes even not even a caste you can attribute to the fellow, you know. And you can see, like, say, for example, the present president, he's a Vaishya, and he's a, you know, one of those Kali Yuga Vaishyas, you know. And the main criticism that this fellow has is that his communication is completely, like, off the wall. He drives everybody, he says things that people just like go and say, where and how and why? And he have no problem. He have no shame. He says something that is, that is a lie or things like that, and there's no problem. So it comes out that the art of communication is not natural, it's not there. And according to the different natures, this art of communication, because of the actual activity that they have to perform, they have different how do you say, connotations. For Brahmanas, the communication is very simple. For Brahmanas, the communication is you say things as it is. The Brahmana is always truthful. He always says the truth. Even if the truth is something that is that it can get them into problem. Prabhupada say a Brahmana is someone that if that if a thief comes and say, "Where is your money?" the Brahmana says, "Right there." There's examples in the scriptures of, you know, Brahmanas getting a little bit into trouble because they just say the truth. They always say the truth. The Brahmanas have the expertise of saying the truth, though the Brahmana has the expertise of saying the truth in a palatable way, which is communication and the moral goodness. You say the truth as it is in a way that the person can actually take it and feel trustful and, oh, okay, we can take it. The Kshatriya is diplomatic. He doesn't say a lie, but he doesn't necessarily say the full truth. He doesn't reveal the whole thing according to circumstances. So he may say half a truth, or he may put it in such a way that it could be this, but it could be that. So it's very expert. You know, when Vasudev was communicated to Kamsa, he was praising Kamsa, "You best of the Bojas," you know. I mean, he was the most abominable of the Bojas, but he said, but you know, they, if you put it in certain context, okay, it's not, because he's a king, the king should be addressed as the best, you know. So they're expert. They say they're diplomatic. They say the truth, but it may not be the full thing according to circumstances. The communications of the Vaishyas are allowed to lie. Prabhupada say the Vaishyas' business is you tell your customer, "For you, I may not profit," which is, you know, it's never truth. So the Kshatriyas are allowed to lie, for it's part of their, it's part of the arrangement. Because the Kshatriyas have to, the Vaishyas have to make profit. And for making profit, you have to sort of trick people, you know, you have to actually, obviously, you don't want to necessarily cheat people, but in order to present your product, sometimes you have to, you know, not present the truthful thing. So Vaishyas can do that. And the Sudras are simply, they're not to be trusted at all. The Sudras can lie, cheat, all that type of thing. The Vaishyas are honorable. They don't want, the Vaishyas always, I mean, the true Vaishyas, the Vedic Vaishyas, is a win-win situation. You know, they want to make their profit, but they also want to benefit people. The Shudras, they cheat. They're not to be trusted. Therefore, in Vedic culture, the Sudras are not given facilities to manage or to have or to trade and that type of thing. They just work and they've been paid. So communication takes these different aspects. But in the case of Vasudev, he is just showing the ultimate Kshatriya expertise in communication. So in this case, in this particular case, he wanted to find out or make sure that Krishna was safe and the plan was going accordingly. The plan was that Krishna was going to be in a situation away from the dangers of Kamsa and in the care of Nanda Maharaj, and without Kamsa understanding that Krishna was actually the son of Vasudev. So that was his anxiety because of Kamsa's demoniac, outreach with his demoniac spies and entourage. He was informed that Krishna has taken, he's there, he's around somewhere. So he wanted to make sure that this still remains a mystery, but he didn't know. And his anxiety was, well, Kamsa was looking for Krishna. And Vasudev, now coming to Mathura, and obviously with the big news, because he just made a big festival of celebrating the birth of Krishna. He just celebrated Janmashtami and Nandotsava. That now coming to Mathura, then Kamsa was going to try to, Kamsa may imprison him and then by means of torture or something get from Vasudev that he knew, sorry, from Nanda that he knew that Krishna was the son of Vasudev. Vasudev was a little concerned that Nanda Maharaj would have figured out the whole thing. And if he knew, then Kamsa can extract that truth from him. So, he's seeing all these schemes that could happen. So better than no one knows about it. Better than no one knows about it. That it remains a mystery. Only Vasudev and Devaki should know. Anyone else should know anything. Especially Nanda and Yashoda should not know about it. So he wanted to find out if Nanda knew, or Nanda figured it out. So how he addressed that, how he find out? Expert. So he communicated, in such a way that it came from Nanda Maharaj, the information that, your daughter has gone back to the heavenly planet. And, my son is fine, like that. So then he could understand, oh, okay. So Nanda doesn't know, without asking the question or without sort of revealing too much. Very expert in communication. So now that he's pacified, okay, the mystery is safe and everything is going according to plan, then he warns, we're going to hear how he warns Nanda Maharaj that be careful, Kamsa is out there and Kamsa is sending demons, to kill children, so be very aware. Nanda was already aware. So we know that eventually the demons did reach Gokula and trying to kill Krishna. The first one was Putana. And when Putana got killed by Krishna, then he got revealed. Now he knew. Kansa, okay, there he is. So he started to send. We see demon after demon after demon after demon, and they all been killed by Krishna. So the excitement is gonna come as we go of all Krishna's supreme adventures on, you know, killing demons left and right. Any comments or questions? Keshava Kishore.
Thanks for the class, Vasuval. Yes, it's regarding the Vaishyas and Sudras managing the communication. You said that Vaishyas can sort of lie or sugarcoat certain things that are not exactly truthful, but people will... What is the difference between a lie or an exaggeration or a misinformation to come up or get across with some information between Shudras and Vaishyas? But lie or an exaggeration or a sugar-coated lie or half-truths or half-lies are the same wherever their mouth is coming from. In my eyes, I don't know. Please help me if I'm wrong.
Well, in one sense, you know, especially we people of the West, we're not accustomed to see Vedic Vaishyas and Vedic Sudras. We just see a much of less than Sudras. The propensities are there, but, you know, in general, the Vaishyas that we see are, they tend to cheat. And, you know, we see sometimes people marketing things that are hurtful to society and to people. And they purposely, they add things that, you know, are addictive. They study people's psychology to actually manipulate you into buy things that you don't need. So these are our Kali Yuga Vaishyas. That is not a win-win situation. Is, you know, is very is demoniac. That you manipulate people for making profit. So that's what we're accustomed. We're accustomed of Vaishyas that are cheaters. And if at times you have Vaishyas who have some decency and they want to create a situation that is win-win, that is, you know, that is beneficial, but they make profit. Those are rare. In general, it's very refreshing when you find someone like that. You know, sometimes when you're a grihastha, you have to contract people, either a mechanic or a handyman or a, you know, this and that, just to find one that is, you know, that is decent is very difficult. You know, I mean, when people find a mechanic that is sort of decent, it's like, you know, you tell your friend and, you know, that everybody, you know, it's like, oh my God, you found, you know, something very rare. No, because in general, you really don't know. You know. They have this inflated prices. You know, some guy fixing a little pipe in your toilet, and then, you know, just having an hour rate like he's a surgeon, you know, it's like is ridiculous. So, or say the medical business, because now it's not necessarily, you know, now it's a business. So this whole insurance thing is an amazing cheating thing. Like sometimes you have this experience when you go to the hospitals. Like I got the experience that I went once, you know, Gokulananda took me I never go to a hospital. I got accustomed to, you know, to just take care of my ailments through natural things. But, you know, that time Gokulananda convinced me. I have, you know, an ear pain. So it was driving me crazy. He said, you know, let's go to the hospital. So they take care of that. Anyway, somehow or other I landed, he took me to emergency. So I go into emergency. You know, I didn't know, I never go to these places, you know. So I went into emergency, the person just asked me to fill a form, I fill a form, I have my insurance. So I fill my insurance, I'm thinking, you know, this is a simple thing, the insurance will cover, you know. And find out that my insurance is useless too, because, you know, I'm doing the Obamacare and I'm paying the smallest one that in reality is about $1,200 a month. Obama pays, you know, so but it's $1,200 a month. That's a huge amount of money for it's a salary. So and so it's not a cheapie, but it's the cheapest. You know, that's how they work. So you find out that actually doesn't cover much. You know, you still have to pay a huge amount of money. You know, I mean, if you're a poor guy, if you're not a wealthy person, you still have to pay some, you know. So I sign, you know, I put the thing, and then wait for like maybe 20 minutes, comes the doctor, takes me in, you know, he sees I'm dressing like a devotee, and we spent about maybe 10 minutes, he's asking me about, you know, what are you guys are, Hare Krishna, this and that. So I'm telling him about, you know, preaching to the guy, telling him about the books, you know, and the Bhagavad Gita. So I spend most of the time like that. And he asked me, okay, what's the problem? You know, my ears is blocked and I cannot hear and things like that. He goes and look at the ear and say, no, just go to any Walmart, you know, some drug over the counter thing, just take a drop and put it in and just go and say, that's it? Yeah, that's it. Good. Not even 2 minutes. He just go like this. Oh no, just go and they just not even give me a prescription, nothing. He goes, you know, yeah, just go. And I say, oh, okay, great, you know, not much pain on this, you know. 2 weeks pass, and then I receive the bill. And then, okay, the bill, you know, so I open the $700. $700. So I was like, what? So I go to the place, I call, what is this? This person only saw me I spent more time talking about myself and about Krishna consciousness than him looking at me. We just were 5 minutes there. How in the world are you going to charge me $700 for 5 minutes? And he didn't even prescribe me something. He just told me to buy, you know, some regular drops. And you, how are you going to charge me $700? And I say, well, that's what it is. When you come to, it doesn't matter. Even if he doesn't see you, you still have to pay because you're in emergency. It's like, what kind of service is this? And then I find out, well, what about my insurance? And I say, well, you don't have insurance. The insurance didn't and say, what? I have, you know, so apparently the person filled out my insurance badly. So, okay, no, we can correct that. You have insurance, so the insurance is going to cover. So I find out what the insurance cover. So now, $700, this is how it worked. It was shocking. $700 is what they charge someone without insurance. Now, if you have insurance, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. $700 was the charge for, no, how was it? No, I'm sorry. They were charging me $300 and something because I didn't have insurance. That's it. Sorry, not $700. I'll correct. $300 and something. I still was $300 for 5 minutes. This is impossible. So then they say, oh, no, you have insurance. Okay, now you only have to pay $120. And I still was like, you know, really? $120 for a guy who sees me for 5 minutes. And he's even, you know, like that. But then I discover that instead of $300, it became $700 because they're charging the insurance. So if you have insurance, a service that for them is $300, it becomes $700. So it's like it's the ultimate cheating business, like grossly cheating. So this is the Vaishyas that we, you know, we're accustomed. That's not the Vedic Vaishya. The Vedic Vaishya is an honest, you know, is someone who serves society, who benefit people. They say a lie in terms of, you know, they make the profit, you know, for you. But Prabhupada said, this is what Prabhupada says. They say, for you I may not profit. You know, they may say that. Okay, I give it to you, but I won't make any profit. And you feel, oh, I'm happy, I'm special. But then that's not true. They make profit. That's the thing. But they're looking for a win-win. They look for, you know, society benefit, and I benefit, I make profit. They need to make profit. So so that's the honest Vaishya. Right now it's just is a horrible, destructive, demoniac society that, you know, everything is mixed up with less than, is beyond civilization, like that, civilized. Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, thank you for your class. I don't know if I have a question, just some comments and appreciation of your class, and maybe you could expand on it. Your main class is about communication problems, which is the cause of any problem in the material world, naturally. One thing that came to mind is His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's book. In his first autobiography, The Journey Home, the one thing I found interesting about his journey is that when he was in the Himalayas with a lot of the Babajis and yogis, especially this one particular yogi with dreadlocks, there's a picture of him in his book. He had long dreadlocks and he's bare chest. And Radhanath Maharaj said, when I was a young teenager in my early 20s, I learned so much from this Babaji. He taught me this, he taught me that, etc. So many things about the environment, the forest. And then at the end of that paragraph or sentence, he said, And this Babaji and I, we didn't even speak the same language. So the lesson I got from that is that just because people don't speak the same language, that doesn't mean they can't communicate.
Right.
On the other hand, we see more often than not, just because people do speak the same language, that doesn't mean they can communicate. If there's no respect, no love, just like in the pastime of the Mohini Murti, the demons, they didn't want to communicate with the demigods. But why did they want to communicate with Mohini Murti? Because she aroused their senses. And we could learn that a lesson in our life is that to the degree when, generally speaking, we don't want to communicate with people who want arouse our senses or who arouse our false ego. Therefore, we have things such as racism, sexism, and even favoritism, etc. And one of the last points I want to make is that the one pastime I appreciate about what Prabhupada told us about Bhaktitirtha Swami, and it's the same pastime in Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu. Of course, Bhaktitirtha Swami said, I have communication problems with some of these devotees. I feel that they may be prejudiced, Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada essentially told Bhaktitirtha Maharaj that it's not always possible to communicate with others on the outside. But it's always, that's because that's outside of control. Inside of control is communicating with our higher spiritual nature. There's a quote that says, happiness and freedom begin with a clear understanding of one principle. Some things are within our control and some things are not. Only after you are faced with this fundamental rule and learn to distinguish which you can and can't control, that inner tranquility and outer effectiveness become possible. So Prabhupada told Bhaktitirtha Swami, if you communicate with your anger, if you communicate with your intolerance, if you communicate with your vengeance, then you'll always be miserable. But if you communicate with your higher spiritual nature. So we see in the material world, it's not always possible for people to disagree. In the natural point, I'll just use one last example of Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, because sometimes in our spiritual life, naturally people say, if two people don't disagree, then they'll always be miserable. If we don't come to a disagreement, then we'll, if there's disharmony, then both parties will be miserable. But why was Hiranyakashipu miserable and Prahlad wasn't? Because Prahlad communicated with his higher spiritual nature, and Hiranyakashipu communicated with his lower spiritual nature. And one thing, last point I appreciate about that pastime is that even though Hiranyakashipu had control over 99% of the universe, he was willing to give all that up because he wanted to, because he had communication problems with Prahlad. He wanted to kill them. So Nagita says, Kama esho krodha esho rajaguna samu bhavaha mahashana mahapatma vidi inam iha vayarinam. When lust isn't fulfilled, our desires isn't fulfilled, our desires to control isn't fulfilled, then we become angry and commit all types of abominable activities. So Hiranyakashipu was willing to give up 99% control of the universe because he had communication problems with one person. So if I had a question, what are some steps we can move forward to keep things in perspective? We have so many things we could be grateful for in our life, and one thing doesn't go wrong with one person or worse circumstances, and we're willing to risk it all. So how to give up this psychotic mentality, really?
Yeah, I think especially for us Kali Yuga people who took birth in a place of that is ruled by ignorance and passion, and we have in general, not only Westerners but everybody, have to rise to the moral goodness. In the moral goodness, things are objective. In the moral passion and ignorance, you just lose perspective, you know? And we tend to see things according to the impulse, the interest, you know, how our nature is. In the moral goodness, you take a step back and you think things objectively. The difference in the moral goodness is that the objectivity part is that you're able to see the influences of the modes, and you're able to step back. Even when sometimes you see in the moral goodness, if the mode is affecting you and you can actually see, oh, I'm getting affected by the mode, so you step back. So it's something that we have to do. We have to do in order to be Krishna conscious, we have to raise to the mode of goodness. So for us, the process to raise to the mode of goodness that Prabhupada give us is the four regulated principles and chanting, you know, our sadhana. That's what elevates us to the mode of, that's what elevates us to the mode of goodness and eventually to the mode of sudasattva, pure goodness. So purification is for us is like compulsory for everybody, you know. I mean, we have to become purified, but yeah, mode of goodness, we have to. The problems that we have is because passion and ignorance is acting. Conflict means passion and ignorance is acting. You know, so we get affected still, and you know, so we have to practice and practice. The association of devotees is amazing because you're able to practice with other people who also trying to. I mean, it's difficult to do out there when people have no clue. But when you're with devotees, the devotees, although, you know, we all going through a process of purification, and sometimes we're butting heads, you know, in the process of purification. But that exchange with devotees, because both sides are trying, purifies us both ways, both sides. So we have to keep trying. Mother goodness. Yeah, Abhishek. Turn the thing.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, one question. As you told the story about the insurance things, so is it safe to assume that modern day Vaishyas, they're more of like Shudras instead of being Vaishyas?
Right. Well, the propensity for Vaishyas is still there. I mean, everybody take birth in Kali Yuga with the nature of a Shudra. But you see, you know, people that are natural business persons and some people that have no clue for business, you know, the other things. So the propensities are there. There's some people that are natural Kshatriyas. But the atmosphere is surcharged by ignorance and surcharged by passion. So that you have these influences, demonic influences, that sort of that is like an umbrella over everything, influence everything. So the Vaishyas are the right now, because we don't have a head, we don't have, you know, a proper Brahminical culture in the world. So we have society, a social structure without a head. So meaning that it's like having, you know, a crazy head, like a, you know, a psychotic crazy head. So then whatever you do with your arms, with your belly, with your legs, it's all crazy, it's chaos. So that's the present society. So Prabhupada wanted, the first step on the strategy of Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to create a Brahminical body, a Brahminical culture. And that's what basically we're being trained. We're being trained, you know, in Brahminical culture. And then the next step, the 50% that Prabhupada says is left to be done, is establish this social structure, Vanashram. Krishna Arjuna Mate.
In the case of Vasudev, he had not one could say, revealed something that he'd done in a hidden way. He had taken the daughter of Nanda, and he knew that there was danger to that daughter by bringing her back to the prison cell. And at the moment in this interaction, he's understanding Nanda's expressing, oh, your daughter entered the heavenly realm. So, you know, in that case, clearly the risk he took, and one could say it was you know, a difficult thing from the point of view of being an untruth in some way, because he's knowing that there's danger to the daughter of his brother, and he's bringing her back, but still he did it in terms of wanting to protect Krishna. So now that sort of untruth was for the advantage of Krishna and for the well-being of Krishna, and you know, there's the proper motivation. But at times, say in, you know, taking into account how you illustrated that there's a great deal of lying and cheating in the present time. So, say within a community, there may be persons who come and they've actually are hiding or lying about some terrible thing that's been done, something that crosses moral boundaries. But the community wishes to embrace a person when a person enters the community. So in that case, the lie gets perpetuated. And it's not necessarily for the benefit of the person or the community, but somehow things often function like that. So I guess the question is, you know, to making that judgment of, you know, an untruth being for benefit or an untruth being for the degradation, really, of a person. And surely those supporting that kind of thing would not be conducive to the well-being of a community. So I guess the question is handling untruth. It's a very difficult thing. So Vasudev dealt with it with extreme diplomacy. And like in a community setting, you know, I suppose diplomacy is required to bring balance. So I guess I'm just reflecting on, you know, how situations play themselves out and what motivation is there for untruth to be done, to be, you know, perpetuated.
Oh, in the case of Vasudev, he was directed by Krishna to do so. I doubt that he will do something like that, or anyone will do something like that, just like, oh, okay, my child is in danger, let me take my brother's child, and, you know, no. But Krishna directing him, now you take me to Nanda and Yashoda and exchange me for the daughter that just took birth. Like that. So is same Yudhisthira when he was ordered by Krishna to lie. Yudhisthira was horrified, but he did it because Krishna ordered. So it's different when you get, you know, this order from a higher authority. So the higher authority is responsible. You know, you're just executing. So Krishna takes that responsibility. In the case of a community being caught in a situation in which there is something that is untruthful, that is being sort of inserted or part, is something that is not a, it can naturally happen, but as soon as a community we start to become aware, we have to, the principle is truthfulness. Truthfulness is one of the legs of religion, and we have to cultivate truthfulness. Therefore, for a community, for an institution, it is important to be transparent with one's actions, so people see that we represent a religion which have these four pillars: cleanliness, truthfulness, compassion, and austerity. So we have to show that we have that. We have to be very transparent to society, otherwise it will erode the faith of people, and we basically destroy the capacity that people has to place their faith and being directed towards Krishna. We have the problem right now that the Catholic Church is facing, which is basically, you know, right now is destroying, you know, possibly and arguably one of the most powerful religious institutions in the world, in terms of wealth, in terms of, you know, influence. And so people have no faith because they were caught in a web of lies, and you know, they in rationalizing that although there was this very terrible thing that was happening within, and it came to their understanding, this whole pedophilia that was going on, when they understood that, they hid it. They actually cover it, rationalizing that will basically hurt the faith of people. So better just to, you know, maintain this forefront of purity, or this forefront of, you know, this ideal thing. And so people can, you know, go on. But the problem is that you can, it's like poison in your body. At one point it will come out, you know. So you know, all of a sudden a huge boil comes in your cheek, you know. And no, everybody can see it. So that's what happened with a lie, with untruthfulness, especially in an institution that is meant, or in a community that is meant to show the alternative of, you know, a life of God-centered life. We have to be examples of truthfulness. And so, but it's an evolution. We can, you know, we can expect that, you know, I mean, if we have it, then we'll be, you know, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada say, if we are Krishna conscious, Krishna can give us the whole world in 18 days. Just like Arjuna conquered, you know, in 18 days. But, you know, we're in the process of becoming Krishna conscious individually and collectively. And in the process, just like individually, collectively, we also have to purify ourselves to come to the mother goodness. But yeah, it's part of the process. I'm going to stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.